So where I lived, it's just out of the city of Durban in South Africa. It's about a 45 minutes drive, a small town called Stanger. So I said, look, I'm going to go to the city, but I'll take some company. So I took a cousin of, second cousin of mine, Francis, and I said, let's go look for work. He was from the farm area, and he said, all right. And we went to the city. We went straight to a cousin of mine. He had just been newly married, living with his in-laws. And we explained to them, we're coming to the city to look for work. So they said, no worries. They were kind to us. Gave us a place to sleep, food to eat, all that. They said the next day, one of the sons in the house, Les, was writing his last exam paper. So when he's finished, he'll take us around and show us the places we need to go look for work. So we went with him the next morning. And when we got there, Francis, the cousin of mine, said, no, look, he's going to visit some family. So he'll meet us back at the house. So I waited for the guy. When he finished, wrote his paper, we went back to the house because he wants to have a change of clothes before he takes me to go look for work. So he goes under the bed to take out his sneakers, his techies, we call them techies. And obviously, I mean, you know, you choose what you like. Those were Tigers and all the best names at that time. And when he went under, nah, there's nothing there. So he said, okay, I'll have a look in the closet, in the wardrobe. What's going on? Take out a shirt. Hey, but now a few things are missing in there. So he went to see the maid. He said, look, some things are missing from the room. Do you know where they're gone? So she said, no, look, the guy that came with me, Francis, had come back. And he said, you sent him to fetch a few things, a few items. So she gave him a suitcase, a big suitcase. You know, those years, we didn't have the pull-along and the zip-up suitcase. We had a big, hard suitcase that you could fill. So Francis filled it up. Whatever he could find, and he took as many things. On the way out, the turntable was there with the speakers. There was to be a 21st birthday that weekend, and he took the speakers and everything. So when we got back and the people started looking at me to say, well, maybe I'm part of that. And my cousin and the wife, and they said, no, he's not, that's for sure. So you see, Francis took the shortcut. It's just, look, I'm not really one that wants to go look for work. And, you know, let me just steal what I can, yeah, and get back home, sell it, and just relax. And so we go back to the story of the Israelites at the bottom of Mount Sinai. They were anxious. They were desperate. And they are asking, where is Moses so long? So they decided to make an idol. With all the gold they had, remember, God brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, to come and worship him in the promised land. But now, they're stealing God's praise and his glory and giving it to this golden calf. And we know what happened that day, because God spoke to Moses and said, get down from the top of this mountain. The people are sinning down there. And when he comes there, he finds there was a big party going on. People lost it, worshiping this golden calf. And so in that one day, because that's a violation and going against God's rule, we find that 3,000 were killed of those Israelites. And so that is trying to take the shortcut. And it takes me back when I grew up in this little town in South Africa. I grew up very humble. And my father was actually a brother in the monastery. He was on his way to priesthood. But he did not continue. He did not become a priest. Otherwise, I would not be here today. He chose to marry. But he taught us a lot of things. And the one thing he did teach us, and I remember clearly, was a liar is a thief, and a thief is a murderer. So we see the first four commandments is all in relationship with God and man. But then the last six is between man and man. So do not steal, do not kill, do not murder, do not commit adultery. You're actually hurting your fellow man in doing such a thing. And so we go back to creation. And when God created everything, and he said, it is good. And then he created everything for us, for man, to subdue, to take control. And then that's the animals, the fish in the sea, everything. And then he said, replenish the earth, which means grow stuff. And then replace things that you're using, you know. And then be fruitful and multiply, you know. That's what we were given by God. He gave everything to us. And he said, don't worry, be happy, enjoy. But then give and it will be given back to you. You know, pressed down, shaken together and running over. But there's nothing about steel. But there we find, no, the human being now we want to. But yet when you give, it gets given back to you. What do you think is going to happen when you steal? It's going to get taken away from you at some stage. Because it's a spiritual warfare. And then we see that since the beginning of time, Lucifer, the highest angel, had one thing in mind, is to commit high treason. That is to steal God's glory. He wanted the worship. He wanted everything. And then Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning because he was cast out of heaven. So his plan A, which was to take God's glory and steal God's power, failed. It was stopped. So he went to plan B, and that is to convince you and I and the human to follow him and to disobey God. So we got to know, and we got to be very careful, because he's out there. And we go to the first scripture there, please, Andrew. And this is John. That was the first one. John 10:10. Right. So this is what we are faced with. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what his plan is. And if you look in the book of Genesis, that in the days of Noah, God saw that man's heart was evil continually. Wasn't just, no, they're just committing something and they're sorry about, no, I'm sorry, Lord, what I've done. No, they continued over and over. And so what happened in Noah, the days of Noah? The great flood came. Because that is the plan of the enemy. You see, the word evil, if you turn it around, it's live. So that's Christ, and God's plan for us is to live and to have life, and to have life more abundant, life to the full. But yet we have the enemy that's out to see confusion in this world, to see you and I trying to outdo each other, no matter what it costs. And then because of that, which is a violation, which is against God's rule, completely against what God planned for us. And we have corruption in this world today, which starts right from the top, that it's greed. People have been given resources to look after countries, you know. That money has to be filtered down, but yet they're looking after their own pockets from the top. That's what's going on, and that's the enemy's plan. You have greed. Then you have robberies. If you put on the news headlines, it's just people just broke the window, went into the shop, helped themselves. Whatever's available. Complete violation. You have hacking. People just can hack your bank account. They just online. All right. And next thing, all the money is gone. Scammers. Right? With these new currencies and things like that. It's like, that's what's going on right now in the world that is completely against God's plan for us. His plan for us is that we should have life. And life more abundant. That's right. And so, if we go to Romans, right, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, the most important thing there is who do not walk according to the flesh. You see? Because if you walk according to the flesh, you're going to be overcome by the things of this world. Whatever you see, you're going to want. It's like, how can I get that thing? And no matter what it costs, I'll do it, even if I have to steal it. But yet, if you walk in the Spirit, you will resist the devil and you will not fulfill the things of the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So in the Old Testament, in the beginning, there was really no conscience of sin before the Ten Commandments. But once the Ten Commandments came, then now they were aware of all the sin that's available. Oh, so if you do that, then that thou shalt not kill. Right? And then whatever happens out of anger and whatever, they kill. And then they know now we have to sacrifice. And that was continuous. So that's why God said, he's tired of all these sacrifices and that for sin. There's only one way, and that was to send Jesus Christ, who would pay the price for sin once and for all. And once he's done that, and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, this is the new commandment. By grace we have been saved, not by works, and through faith in Jesus Christ. For what he's done for us. And, you know, this corruption and this violation, people become so bold. It takes me back, also back in South Africa, we had just built our house, and you could see it has just been painted. It's the new house, new driveway. And one night was a very cold night. I heard the dogs barking, and then all of a sudden it's soft. It's like somebody's chasing them. So I tried to get up out of bed, but I could feel something pushing me down, like a hand. And this happened about three times that I hear the dogs and noises, but I just couldn't get up out of bed because I want to investigate myself and see what's going on. But it just wasn't happening. And eventually fell in a deep sleep, got up in the morning. I'm heading out to work. And my normal routine before I get out of the house, I look on the wall, there's a clock. I have a look at the time, right, time to go. We used to start at 6 in the morning. And when I came to the door, I look, I see the clock is not there. So I said, well, because our wives like to move stuff around sometimes in the house without us knowing that what that clock could have been put somewhere else. So open the door, but the key is in the door. I know I lock that door every night, but somehow when I move the handle, the door's open. Wasn't locked. So I said, okay, no worries. Closed the door, went to work. But I must have been at work about not even an hour. So 7 o'clock phone call from my wife, crying on the phone. The lounge being cleaned out. The TV, video, children's games, trophies we had won from the sports. You know, children did well in school. I also play sports. All that is gone. They must have thought it's gold. Meanwhile, it's just shining. You know what I mean? And it's because of the trophies we got the lead. But anyway, gone. Now I'm thinking, because 2 weeks later, I'm in the lounge. Normally, I'd be watching TV. And now I'm just relaxing in the lounge, just pondering on this now, what has taken place. And I'm thinking, but how can that be? I'm a believer. Everybody in the road knows there's a born again. I even started a little cell group and all that. Now my stuff is stolen. You see, the devil is a liar and he's trying to steal our testimony. Because if we lose that testimony, then the people are like, ah, you're a Christian, but what does that mean? But with your testimony, they know, now this man is standing solid. He's a believer. And so while I'm still pondering, 2 weeks later, I hear this bang. Usually it's a knock. But when you hear a bang, there's something urgent. And I open the door, and it's two policemen. Can you just come to the vehicle? We want to show you something. So they open the door, take out some stuff there, and they say, do you recognize anything? And I'm like, no. But there was a picture there with the horses drinking water on the wall, and I said, no, I know this picture. So they said, no, that's okay. And within 2 weeks, every single thing came back. Right? I went to the police station. They said, no, we can't believe it. They said, you see the table? Yeah, it's full of files. Some of them 2 years, maybe 5 years, not even a trace of where these things have been stolen. But yet, he said, within 2 weeks, you got all your stuff. I said, no, look, I'm a believer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, anyway, here's some money for some cold drinks. Enjoy. But they took me to a room next door. He said, I just want to show you something. And he opened the door. He said, see this room. It was full of people. He said, these are the people that bought your stuff. Those are the people that bought the stuff. So it doesn't matter. You didn't steal it. But you bought it, you're just guilty as much as the one that stole it. Sad to say, because the room was full. Imagine each one bought one thing. And there they're all there. And I just said, well, I just walked away, because what can you say? If somebody came to you with something that's cheaper and says, hey, there's a TV here for $100, you say, okay. But you're actually part of that theft. You know? So we need to know, as born-again children of God, there's no and there's yes. No is no and yes is yes. So we need to stand firm. The commandments were given not because now it's the Old Testament, we don't remember that anymore. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill. So we got to follow from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Not just only the Ten Commandments and it's finished there. We are children of God. So, yes or no. No in between. And we go back to 2 Corinthians. Andrew? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, this is very important, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, we have in this church cell groups, we have prayer meetings, fellowship. We need to get involved with that because this is our family and we can share different issues, whatever it is. One puts 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. So we need not fear. We got believers next to us and we need to stand by faith and know from whence our help comes. And we go back to the story of the rich man. And we know this rich man went on a journey and he said to his servant, look after my stuff. And he was gone. We find that after many days, he came back. And then when he comes back, he finds the servant waiting for him at the door. You know, how good was that? He didn't find the servant in the storehouse stealing some stuff and trying to hide it, or find him abusing the other servants or sleeping around. He found him waiting for his master. How important is that, that we should be found waiting when the Lord Jesus returns? Because he said he's coming soon. Nobody knows the day or the hour. He will come like a thief in the night. So if we are not ready for that, we'll be found wanting. And then, I think we can get the band to start coming up. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Have you got Romans 8:14 there, Andrew? I just want to check something. We have a new identity in Jesus Christ. Yep. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we are now adopted children of God. We have that adoption, that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we can cry out, Abba, Father. And because of our adoption, we are now heirs of the throne. So whatever God owns, whatever we own it to, because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Our God is a loving God, and he's given everything for us. So we need to be found waiting. You know, we were in South Africa, and when we came back, my son picked us up at the airport, and he drove us home. When we got to our house, the children were there. They had prepared a meal. Wow, what a good feeling. You know, I should have got up and served them, but I was a little bit tired. But praise God that somebody was waiting for you. And that's what Jesus expects from us when he comes back, that we should be waiting. So if there's anybody that needs anything or any prayer, you're welcome to come up. and we will trust the Lord. Amen. Amen.